Welcome in. Welcome to Late Night Gamecock Show, Rob. It is August 9th. I can't believe it. It is a crazy, crazy thing that we're this close to college football. Off the top, Rob, did you see that ridiculous catch from Cam Williams that made its way on Twitter?
Cam Coleman? Is that what we're talking about? Texan? Yeah. I saw it.
Cam Williams. Why do I know that name?
I don't know, but you know, I saw it. And the bigger thing for me, Matt, my hat's fading. I'm going to have to get a new one. The bigger thing for me was the reaction in the other direction. I saw a lot of OU, oh, this isn't that impressive. I saw a lot of the throw was terrible. Like, I don't know what people are talking about, but it was a great catch.
Yeah, and I mean, Gamecocks have had plenty of those over the past couple of years as well. And just a reminder, Texas is not on the Gamecock schedule this year unless they play in a potential SEC championship or college football playoff. But this is absolutely the time of year where those kinds of videos go around. And I've heard that there are numerous Gamecock players that have made some pretty cool catches just like that. It would be great if the Gamecocks advertised them. But maybe that's a little secret that they want to keep in the back chamber. This episode tonight is going to be all about predictions. We are going to spend a good amount of time in the SEC. We're going to spend a good amount of time nationally. And then we're also going to bring Justin Lyles in of Sports Guy Value for his takes on the same things that Rob and I are going to talk about. But first, Rob, I guess quickly, yes, South Carolina opened their fall camp. There's a lot on the bigspur.com. I would encourage everybody to go take advantage of that 75% off on the annual rate to go read a lot of that. We're going to get to what we can, but we have a jam-packed episode tonight. Of course, you're going to get tidbits from the Inside the Gamecocks, the show, and the morning show. But Rob, real quick, anything that stood out to you? For me, not a lot, except for, you know, some of the player comments that, you know, are probably all over the bigspur.com.
No, I think it's business as usual, Matt, in terms of what we've come to expect in this season. It's not so much for me that there's like normal coach speak comments, but there are normal 2026 comments. I think if you are new or you haven't been tuned in, or maybe you took the summer off and now you're back because it's football season, there's an underdog mentality here in Columbia with Shane Beamer and this team. There is an idea that there's something to prove. There's an idea of underachieving last year. There is a confidence with Kendall Briles and the changes that have been made on the offensive staff. And I think all of those things just continue to ring true. You know, if anything kind of stands out to me, I'll give Harrison a shout out. Some of his observations.
Yes.
From practice, I thought were phenomenal, and some things that really, really jumped in terms of roles that players are taking on and kind of how you're seeing some growth, not just in terms of physically, Matt, what players are capable of doing, but how they're leading the team, because that's the big thing that Shane Beamer mentioned last year. They didn't finish well because they didn't have leaders on the team. Leaders were present in 2024, and you saw close games were pulled out by the Gamecocks. Last year, 2025, they were in a lot of games in the fourth quarter. We talked about that last week. Weren't able to finish, and I think that some of that leadership comes through, and it's encouraging to see some of that early on.
Yeah, and the big takeaways I'll just throw off the cuff for me is that, look, this offensive line is totally different than it was last year, right, guys? And, right, Rob, I should say, it's just you right now, but I'm speaking to the audience. This offensive line is totally different, and this is something that goes back to when I was at the 7-on-7 camps and the O-line, D-line camps and the individual camps over the summer. This offensive line coaching staff is going to get in the players' crawls, and they're going to make them earn it. Darius Gray got rave reviews from a lot of players, which tells me that he might be further ahead. I would caution you on penciling him in as a starter, despite his 5-star status. But if he is ready to play, I do think that the Gamecocks will not hesitate to put him in the lineup quickly. Defensive line, I think that it was big to hear about the defensive tackles and how the defensive tackles are looking pretty good. They're saying the right things. They all have SEC experience. They know what fall camp is all about. So you're hearing a lot of that right now as well. But again, just make sure you go to thebigspur.com. the Gamecock Central, we're all over this, and we really do feel like we're providing the best coverage that you can possibly have. And Jack Beltry was on Friday. I know that Wes and Chris are at least one of them scheduled to be on with JB this week. And look, tomorrow's an off day, so there's not going to be a lot of conversation coming out of the football complex tomorrow, but it's going to be picking up hot and heavy. And there is a scrimmage scheduled for this upcoming Saturday. And I know Rob and I will be fired up to talk about the scrimmage and what we hear from it, because this is the true measuring stick. You know, right now they're implementing the offense, they're implementing the defense, they're trying to get guys ready. But when the scrimmages start happening, that is when you start hearing about who's going to be in the rotation, who flashed, who didn't. But Rob, this is fun for me because it's not often. It's about every 4 years I get to talk about basketball in the summer with, you know, tangible results. I don't know if you had a chance to watch the game live. I did do the flow thing. And then I'm going to go back and rewatch it. But off the cuff, South Carolina, you know, didn't win what I would say absolutely convincingly by the final score. But I do think that if South Carolina had not played some deep reserves over the last 10 minutes of the game, that score could have gotten pretty out of hand. So my first question to you, Rob, is do you think it's an overreaction by Gamecock fans who are questioning the final score and what it means compared to what other teams have done on this Bahamas trip in the SEC?
No, I mean, here's the thing, and I don't want anybody to overreact one way or the other. I think a good comparison point to keep people from overreacting is Auburn. I don't know if you saw their final score. Not even really sure who it was that they played. I don't even know the logo, to be honest with you, Matt. But they lost 70-68, and their caption on X is just "competed." That's the whole caption. So I don't know, like, if South Carolina fans look at it and go, well, how does this compare one way or another? It's a learning time. This is the same argument that we make about football. And I've really been excited to talk to you about this basketball game because I knew you'd be tuned in. Should have called you sooner, honestly. But when we talk about football games and coaches asking for scrimmages before the season or preseason games or whatever, because college football is the only one that doesn't have them, you know, the argument has long been made, well, they're never going to let that happen. They're never going to spring scrimmage somebody else. They're never going to preseason game, because if you lose to a nobody, then you're going to be – if you lose to a nobody, then the reaction is going to be just kind of insane.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that that is what's happening right here and right now with basketball. This is a practice time, and there should not be a reaction, I don't think, other than to say, hey, we saw this skill set from this group of players – or from that group of players, and we can see how it fits into the system. But kind of using this to predict exactly where the team is going to be when the season actually starts, I wouldn't go that far, because it's so, so early in trying to get these players into their roles. And to your point, they played a lot of reserves because you got to get guys reps and opportunities.
Yeah, I'm going to tie this up here because there's still another game to be played tomorrow. I'm not going to be able to watch the game tomorrow live. I have some work stuff that I have to do, but I did post a thread on thebigspur.com, Gamecock Central, the Insiders Forum, and I did play-by-play, just the offensive points. I'm going to go back and rewatch the game and look at the defensive stuff, but I'll just give everyone my take on the game, you know, just real quick and dirty. The first 10 minutes were rough. The first 10 minutes looked like 12 new players on a basketball team that have never played together. Really, 10 guys who played in the game yesterday had never worn a Gamecock jersey before. And then you also have two deep reserves from last season in Hayden Assimian and Grant Polk, who combined for, I want to say, over 30 minutes. The first 10 minutes were very ugly. I don't think this team has any offensive sets built in. And I think that's what Lamont Paris was saying when he said, we're going to go out there and have fun. We're going to play straight man-to-man defense. And I think it was a kind of a wake-up call to play a team like Victoria, who, look, I'm not even sure if Victoria could compete in the Big South. I'm not sure if they could compete at the Division I level at all. But what I do know is Victoria's played at least four games now against top-tier Division I basketball teams and scored a bunch of points in a lot of those games, at least two of them. And that's a team that has more chemistry, more camaraderie than South Carolina has, and it showed. Playing man-to-man, you're going to leave people on an island sometimes when you don't, when they know what they're doing and you don't know what they're doing. You can be in a tough spot. Look, I'm a culprit of that. I mean, my high school team played zone a lot just so they could let me shoot because I couldn't guard, you know, a stick in the mud. So I think overall, like, I'm just going to go player by player really quick. Corey Mincy showed that he can really heat up in a hurry. He was responsible for 16 first half points. I think he was basically responsible for a 15-2 run at one point in the game. Davion Hanna, it took a little bit of time to settle in, but he got downhill in a hurry and was drawing a number of fouls at the rim, finishing layups, making good outlet passes, playing good defense and getting rebounds. Then you have Cam Heidi, who I thought did exactly what Cam Heidi's supposed to do. He missed his first two or three three-pointers, but then he made three in a row after that. I mean, he's that kind of shooter. He went 3-for-6 yesterday, and I thought two of those balls should have gone down. Alexis Bilauskas, I thought, just did whatever he wanted to in the paint, like he should do in a game like this. And he only played, I think, 13 minutes and had 12 points and 5 or 6 rebounds. Then you have Juan Fernandez. Those were the starters. Juan Fernandez didn't know what the heck he was doing yesterday. He's only been in South Carolina for like maybe a week and a half, maybe 2.5 weeks. He did a lot of floating and standing around, which is to be expected. As far as the bench, Hayden and Simeon, I thought, showed real improvement. Shane Blankeney was really good on defense, and he actually had some good passes on offense. Jacob, I don't know. I listened to the announcer say it. I'm not sure if he's right. Nakas, he was exactly what I thought it could be. He took some defensive rebounds, pushed them up the court, threw an excellent three-quarters bounce pass on the break. They turned turnovers into offense yesterday and scored, I think, like 28 points off 18 turnovers. That's a really good number. They had like 48 points in the paint, something like that. So, I mean, you go player by player, there were flashes of everybody. I mean, even Hugo Lopez looked like he had a really good stroke from the free throw line. And, you know, it's kind of funny. He didn't know he had two free throws, and he swished the first one and had to run back to the free throw line. But that's what this is. This is August basketball in the Bahamas, and it's the first time these guys ever played 5-on-5 in a meaningful matchup.
I think the biggest thing for me is that this gives Lamont Paris an evaluation point, and I think that's what it's designed to be, right? How did these guys look against somebody else that's not also wearing garnet and black? And like you said, they just got there, Matt. I think Corey Mincy heating up is a good thing because I think he's going to have to do that at times, and then he's going to have to distribute at times. I'm interested to see how well he distributes in the long term. Heidi at 50%. If he shoots 50% all year, I'm still with you. Let him shoot 10 or 12.
Yeah.
Like that, you know. So there you go. It's early. It's August basketball, but there's some learning points for sure.
Yeah. And the last thing I'll say is, I mean, I did put my thoughts into a thread on thebigspur.com. I'm going to rewatch the game Monday, probably Monday evening. I'll have some thoughts, and I'm going to tie everything together in an article on thebigspur.com. And I'm sure we'll talk about it as we move along into the college basketball season. The men's team will play tomorrow at 4 p.m. against the Bahamas national team. If you want to watch that game, it's going to be on Flow Sports. I think you can pay like 20 or 30 bucks, get access to it. And then, but there was a YouTube replay of the game today or yesterday that I saw populated today. So you can go back and watch it. But now, Rob, this is the fun time, and we're going to do this. And this is going to be before Justin comes on. We're going to ask him very similar questions. So it'll be a lot of fun. But it's time to get into predictions to the SEC. Next week will be a lot of Gamecock predictions, so make sure you're watching next week as well. But, Rob, I'm going to ask you your three safest predictions for the SEC, your three confident predictions, but you're still a little iffy on, like you're confident, but maybe not. And then I'm also going to ask you what are three things that you're like, maybe it could happen if all the stars align. So we're going to go back and forth here, Rob. So let's go ahead and start off with yours. Your three safest predictions. Go with number one, and then we'll ping pong it back and forth.
First of all, this is incredibly fun. This is one of the things that we really enjoy. I can't wait to see how the chat box continues to chime in with what we have going on here, our predictions. If you think we're crazy, or if you have one, please put them in there. And I feel a little bit only 2 weeks removed from the swan song of SEC Sunday night. We get SEC predictions on the late night Gamecock show. So I get an opportunity to dip my toe back in. The first one that I have, Matt, is that Arkansas will have the worst record in the SEC at the end of the year.
Okay, this, and remember, this is safest predictions. So
yeah, I think they're bad. I don't know that the roster is completely up to what it needs to be. There's multiple. They went two different ways. They went G5 starters, and they went Power 4 backups. So the question is, can the G5 starters elevate to the SEC level, mm-hmm. and can the Power 4 and a lot of SEC backups prove that they should have had a starting role? I just don't know. I just don't know. And the schedule's not super friendly. I think this is going to be a tough year for the Razorbacks.
All right. So my follow up question to that is, I don't disagree. Does that make that second to last game of the season or third to the last game of the season on the road in Arkansas easier or harder for the Gamecocks? Is this going to be a team that in Arkansas that has given up, ready to get the season over?
Yeah.
Or in a game that South Carolina can overlook?
No, I don't think so. I think that it actually, you know, it's not the game that makes me nervous. Maybe I'm wrong about that, and I'll have to knock on wood, and we'll come back to it at some point. I feel pretty good about it, Matt, to be honest with you. I think that it's positioned well for South Carolina because it is at the end of the year. Mm-hmm. It's going to be an opportunity to grab some momentum. It's going to be an opportunity, not as much as like the Coastal game last year where they just went out and just dominated, but I do think it's going to be an opportunity to catch a team that, like you said, has lost a little bit of its fire. I don't know if I'll go as far as to say they've completely given up, but I think they will have lost it a little bit.
All right, so I don't disagree there. I'll give you my first safest prediction for the SEC, and I'm really excited to hear what you think about it. Look, because, Rob, we're on the record. Like, you know, you can go and say, like, I told my buddy 4 months ago that this was going to happen in retrospect, but we gotta live up to these predictions. So my first safest prediction for the SEC this year is one of Georgia, Texas, or Oklahoma wins the SEC championship. For me, Rob, I think these are the three best teams in the SEC. Both Georgia and Texas play Oklahoma. Georgia hosts Oklahoma. Texas and Oklahoma play each other in the Red River Shootout. But Georgia and Texas will not play until a hypothetical SEC championship. So I think these three teams in the gauntlet of what is the SEC are best projected to hold on. Georgia plays good defense, solid offense, solid to great offense. Texas, probably the most talent in the country, maybe outside of Ohio State. And then Oklahoma, John Mateer, we've talked about it, was the midseason Heisman winner last year, and we already know what that Oklahoma defense is going to be. So if that thumb's okay, do you think I'm crazy? Do you think it's one of these three?
No, and I'll echo, and I'll go with my number two here because it ties in perfectly. I think that Georgia makes the college football playoff, bar none, and I think there's zero chance they don't make it in because I do have them, and I'm on the record already, so I'll say it again. I have them undefeated and winning the SEC championship game against Texas. I think that they are the second best team in the country behind Ohio State. But if I'm wrong about a couple of those games, I don't think there's any way. I cannot find a path where Georgia loses more than two games or gets bumped from the college football playoff. That includes the SEC championship game. So I don't think there's zero way they lose more than two. So if they go into the game, I think that, you know, 11-1 and then drop it to Texas, you're still getting in. So I think that they're really, really good. And I think they're not getting talked about enough. And that is what scares me the most about the Bulldogs. They're under the radar and they're back-to-back SEC champions. Watch out. Kirby's going to have them ready to go.
Yeah. Rafael Esparza on Friday with JB said that no one's talking about Georgia. We were talking about over-unders. He's like, Georgia's the best team in the SEC. I don't understand what's happening right now. So that's a good prediction. Remember, these are really safe, guys. So yeah, I do want to say that Jeffrey Lynn here says Georgia will have a winning record. That is very safe prediction. Boom, write it down. I would take those Vegas odds and just bet a dollar on it and win 10 cents, maybe a penny.
Yeah.
And then Scott says, I think the Vols take a big step back this year. And remember, these are safe prediction guys, so we're going to hold you to them just like you're holding us to them. My second safest prediction in the SEC is Arch Manning wins the SEC Offensive Player of the Year award. I think that they have too much firepower. I think that he is going to be a media darling. He has that Manning last name. And they have some hypothetical shootouts. I mean, this could be a situation where Texas defense isn't all the way there. And Arch Manning really took that next step for me last year. And he's going to put up all the counting stats, and he's going to have wins that matter. So I say Arch Manning wins SEC Offensive Player of the Year.
I'm right along there with you, and I'll go. You tied me to number three again, and this is the last time I think that our picks are going to align, Matt. Okay. But I have, my number three is that Arch Manning makes the trip to New York as a Heisman finalist. I think that along the lines of what you're saying there, as the SEC Offensive Player of the Year, he's going to have a good year because he's matured in the way that he runs this offense. I think the physical tools have kind of always been there, but I think his ability to decipher when to run, when to pass, and you mentioned Cam Coleman adding another weapon. Don't forget that he still has Ryan Wingo in that wide receiver room. It's kind of loaded for Arch Manning and teed up for him. Texas has a somewhat favorable schedule for a Texas team, for an SEC team. So I think he's going to have a big year. And you're right, the Manning name comes through. I think that he is in New York. Can he raise the trophy unlike his uncles? We'll find out.
Yeah, it's and you know, I guess what his grandfather did win the Heisman, right? Archie, didn't he win the Heisman? So yeah, maybe it's a couple generation thing. My last safest prediction is that Vanderbilt finishes with a losing record and does not make a bowl game. I think Vanderbilt's probably going to start a true freshman quarterback, and he is a five-star from a private school in Jared Curtis. But I don't think he's going to be ready for games against NC State in week three, a road trip to Auburn at Jordan-Hare Stadium at Georgia, and they host Ole Miss all within the first 5 weeks of the season. Then they also have Alabama at Florida and Tennessee to close out the season. So Vanderbilt, it's been a good story. Proud of you. 17 wins, but it's going to be a losing season, and they will not make a bowl game.
I'll refrain from comment because I have more on that coming up in the Stars Align section.
All right, so we just finished safest. Now we're probably going to go a little bit faster here.
Yeah.
But we're going to have the confident but iffy predictions. Since you went first last time, Rob, I'll go first this time. I'm confident this will happen, but I'm not sure. I think LSU goes undefeated on the road this year in SEC play. At Ole Miss, at Kentucky, at Auburn, at Tennessee, and at Arkansas. Obviously, the Ole Miss and the Tennessee games are going to be big games for Lane Kiffin and revenge. Kentucky, Auburn, and Arkansas aren't that scary. So I think they go undefeated on the road.
Yeah, I don't totally disagree with you. I think that they have way too much talent. I heard Rafael Sparza on with you and JB on Friday as well, kind of mention, you know, can this go one way or another? But one thing he said that I agree with is there's immense talent on this roster. If Lane Kiffin gets that talent to gel and come together, then this LSU team becomes really dangerous. How quickly that happens is the question. But I think you're probably right there, Matt. I would agree with that take. My first one is in reference to the Sooners in Oklahoma. I think they're going to have the best defense, not just in the SEC, but in the country. I think this Brent Venables defense is absolutely loaded with talent. We know what he can do from a coordinator standpoint. And when he is in charge of the defense, I think that they become really, really scary. And if John Mateer can stay healthy and you have a balance on offense, they hired a new running backs coach there in Norman. If they balance it out and don't run Mateer as much, let him throw the ball. He protects the ball and doesn't turn it over. If the offense can complement the defense, then their defense won't be put in bad situations. I think they've had a better defense the past couple of years than what we even realized, but the offense just put them in such bad spots. If the offense gets it going, that defense just needs to stay status quo, and the numbers are going to show up for the Sooners.
I would put it this way. I almost made that prediction, Rob. And I love that you and I really don't talk about this at all, but we think similarly. I've long thought that Oklahoma was the best defense in the country. I definitely think they're the best defense in the SEC. So, but I mean, there are other good defenses. I mean, a number of them come to mind, but I like that. I think that, you know, you should be confident in that pick. So my next one in the confident but iffy, I believe Tennessee starts 5-1 and wins 9 games this season. I think they lose to Alabama, LSU, and then one other team this season. So Tennessee 5-1 wins 9 games this season. And I apologize to Scott Ciakowski in here because he thinks they're going to take a big step back. So Rob, thoughts on that?
Yeah, I actually totally agree with you here. I think that they are. I think they're better than people realize. It's a quarterback. It's a quarterback question. That's cliche. Everybody wants to talk quarterback. Quarterback this. Quarterback that. Can they get Jim Knowles' system down quickly? I mentioned this before, but I spoke with one of their defensive assistants who was with Knowles previously at a stop earlier in his career, and now he's back with him at Tennessee, and said that they were picking it up, and this was late spring. And said he felt really good about the install, where guys were at with it. And this was kind of an off, you know, off to the side conversation. I wasn't really reporting on Tennessee or anything. So I feel pretty good about where that's going to be. Which quarterback can you plug into Heupel's offense, and how does that running game go? They've got the offensive line to run the football. So I don't really have a question there. Peyton, what's his last name? It escapes me at the moment, but their running back.
Don't worry about
it. Their running back is good enough for that running game to keep pushing. So, yeah, I agree with you there. My second one is that Missouri's offense will have its best year in the Eli Drinkwitz era.
Let's go. I think
these two running backs, assuming Ahmad Hardy gets back to full health,
yeah,
plus Austin Simmons is going to be something to pay attention to. They've got a handful of receivers that are really, really talented. They brought some transfers in to go with Ogumike. And I think that, you know, Drink hasn't really had this great quarterback. It's always been guys that he's just kind of pulled along. It's been the ones that you didn't expect. It was Brady Cook was his best quarterback. And you know, now he's got Austin Simmons, who is a Lane Kiffin guy, who was in a master's program at Ole Miss at 19 years old. We know that he's got it between the years. He's got all of the physical ability. Can he put it all together? He's a little turnover prone early last year before the injury, but this is a guy that Lane Kiffin had as his starting quarterback. He's got something. If that all comes together for Missouri, regardless of the fact that they're replacing their entire starting defense, I think the offense goes out and scores some points. And because the defense is bad, that may force Drink to really push it a little bit more and get the ball moving up and down the field to score even more than he normally would. They're going to be in some shootouts. Give me Missouri's offense.
Well, it sounds like we also need to take Austin Simmons as SEC Comeback Player of the Year, which I wouldn't be surprised to see happen. I was a big Austin Simmons fan before the injury, and like you said, he did beat out Trinidad Chambliss, who everybody in the world loves now, and Lane Kiffin loved Austin Simmons as well. So good prediction there. My last one in the confident but iffy, I think Alabama wins 10 games and people remember they're Alabama. They have five potential losses on the schedule, and I think those are South Carolina, Georgia, at Tennessee, Texas A&M, and at LSU. But I think they go 3-2 and finish with 10 wins this year.
Well, I was wrong, Matt. We tied together again. My confident but iffy prediction is that Bama goes 9-3 and misses the college football playoff.
Okay.
Razor thin margin between 10-2 and remembering that they're Bama at 9-3 and missing the playoff. The juxtaposition of those two takes is really, really strong. What happens if they didn't go 9-3? Does Kalen DeBoer survive? Whew. We'll find out.
Yeah, that is a whole thing to consider there. All right, so the last one we have, this is the fun one. We're going to go through this, and this is kind of the out there one, right, Rob? This is, you feel like this could happen, but maybe only if the stars align. Like, you're not putting your neck out. Like, you're not jumping off the, you know, you're not jumping like squints off the deep end in the pool and hoping that Wendy Peppercorn comes and gets you. You know, you're saying like, look, I might die with this prediction, but I feel confident enough to do it. So do you want to go first walking the plank, or do you want me to?
I'll walk it all day.
Go ahead.
Mississippi State wins 7 and really, really has an upswing of a year. They have some opportunities on the schedule. They have some brutal, brutal games. But I do think, you know, am I jumping on the bandwagon? I don't really know. I've been talking about Kamario Taylor for almost a year at this point. Yeah. I don't feel like I'm jumping on. But I do think that this team has the potential. I said it last year. They're going to jump up and bite some people. I think if they have a couple of swing games this year that could go the certain way. I picked them 5-7. So if I'm sticking my neck out and I'm finding a couple more wins, they're out there.
I don't disagree. And that makes week 3 very, very, very interesting, Rob.
It's one of those
South Carolina, because for Mississippi State to get to seven, that probably means that that's a win for Mississippi State, or a very close game that gives them momentum and as a catalyst, kind of like that Alabama game was for South Carolina when they won six consecutive regular season games to end the season. So I'm gonna save my flashiest for last. And you know what? I'll go with my, yeah, we'll do this one. I have three of them here. This goes hand in hand with what we talked about earlier. I think Oklahoma places 8+ players on all SEC first through third teams. And I think that they might get there on the defense alone, but I'll say that 8 total, they're going to put 6 to 7 on, you know, defense alone. And then on offense, they have a lot of wide receivers. I mean, I could even see 9 or 10. If you haven't got the memo, I'm very high on Oklahoma this year. And that is very scary to me to think that they might actually be the best team in the SEC and dominate the all SEC postseason list.
It's definitely possible for them to do that. Yeah, I think this all hinges on John Mateer's health. And I made the statement earlier about their defense being the best in the country. I think they will from a talent standpoint. How much do we get to see that? I think all depends on what Mateer does. Not only can he stay healthy, Matt, but how much of that gunslinger is still in him. Sometimes mm-hmm. gunslinger is brilliant, and sometimes it's pick city. So we'll see how he does with the turnovers as well. But I don't disagree with you from a pure talent standpoint. They've strangely also, I feel like, flown under the radar. Texas and LSU are getting all of the buzz. Georgia, Oklahoma, not getting quite as much. So I won't push back a ton on that one for sure.
Well, I mean, I think it's probably, we don't have to go much further. It's like John Mateer might be the biggest X factor in the SEC this year, his health. And if he becomes a midseason or postseason Heisman, I think Oklahoma can run away with this thing.
We'd have a whole night on quarterbacks and their impact on these teams. How do they perform this year? Oh, my second one here in the out there predictions is Vanderbilt loses 10 straight.
Woo!
They start off with a couple of cupcakes, Matt, I should have it in front of me. I do not. Delaware.
Let's see if I can find it. You got it?
They start off with Delaware and Austin Peay.
Okay.
After that, it's a run. You know, you know what I mean? Look, I'll give it to you. Here we go. NC State, who we don't really know, but you're right. It's the first real competition for Jared Curtis. At Auburn, who wants to get their lick back because Diego Pavia had their number.
Mm-hmm.
At Georgia, then they host Ole Miss. Then they have Arkansas. This is the real opportunity for them, okay? And then Kentucky and Mississippi State in 3 weeks. Could they drop all three if the stars align? Alabama, Florida, Tennessee to close it out. I think those are all losses. So it really hinges on that stretch there in the middle where you have a battle of the bottom four, Arkansas, Vanderbilt, Kentucky, and Mississippi State. We've already heard what I think about Mississippi State. I think Kentucky's going to be able to outscore Vanderbilt given Will Stein's offense. I think Minshew's going to be a good fit there. I don't think they're going to be like bowl eligible, but I do think they can come in and beat Vanderbilt. It starts could align, and it could be real bad for Clark Lee.
Well, I'll just say that confidence is a real thing with a young quarterback, and Jared Curtis is a young quarterback taking a step up in competition. And look, ask Lenore Sellers how good defensive coordinators are when they get the book on your offensive coordinator and they get the book on the players around you, you know, what you can do. So it could be very, very difficult for Jared Curtis this year. My next one is kind of the polar opposite of what I said earlier when it came to LSU. With LSU, I think they go undefeated on the road. I think they go 4-3 at home this year. And that's largely because Texas A&M, Alabama, and Texas all come to LSU. The road trip to LSU, I think, takes the wind out of the sails from LSU after a big emotional win. Like I said, I do think they win that game. But then Alabama and Texas have more talent, and they take victories in the Bayou. And I think that LSU fans are very frustrated with Kiffin after year one if they miss the CFP. And look, they might not. I mean, 3 wins might get them in, and maybe that national media story is enough. But I think that it is a good year to play LSU at home this year for A&M, Alabama, and Texas.
Okay. Well, you know, it's not you're right. It's a stars aligned type of thing, right? Is it possible that LSU loses all of those? Yes. Is it probable that they steal one of those? They're probably going to steal one, right?
It's a stars aligned. Like, this is crazy. I mean, I don't think it's going to happen, but it might.
Speaking of stars aligning, you asked me for you. We said we're saving the flashiest for last. My last one here, Matt, is Texas A&M misses a bowl game.
Whew. Okay.
All right. Let's
work a fan in here.
Let's work the schedule a little bit. Okay.
Let's go. And
we're going to count potential stars aligned losses. So they start with Montana State. Then they play Arizona State. I'm going to give them that one. Okay. Then they host Kentucky. All right. So we're 3-0. Then we're going to get into a little bit of a stretch here at LSU. So there's one.
I'm looking host at
Arkansas, host Arkansas, not giving them that one. At Missouri, tricky. If they do have the best offense in the drink era, that could be two. Okay. Got the Citadel. Then Alabama, that's three. South Carolina's giving them fits. That's four. Tennessee, we just said, is 9-3. Could they win? Yes, that's five. Oklahoma, we're super high on. That's six. And then the last game, of course, against Texas, that would be seven. If all of that happens with a brand new coordinator calling plays for this offense, can Marcel Reed be consistent enough? We will find out. That would be totally stars aligned for me. I don't think it's going to happen, but could it snowball on them? It might.
Look, Texas A&M, usually Texas A&M's at some point in the later part of the season. And look, those last four games at South Carolina, Tennessee, at Oklahoma, and Texas, I mean, that could be an 0-4 month. So then are there three more that we just talked about? I mean, yeah, you just went through the schedule. I'm looking at it like it's not impossible. And I'm just going to say that Marcel Reed is not an accurate quarterback.
He's not. It's not impossible. It's not impossible.
So – my last one here is very similar to what you just said, Rob. I believe that Ole Miss starts – I shouldn't say I believe. In this crazy could happen if the stars align type scenario, probably not going to happen. Again, I will say these are probably not going to happen. Don't crucify me, everybody. But Ole Miss starts the season 1-3 and finishes with six losses. They start the season versus Louisville and Nashville. Then they play LSU and they go on the road against Florida. I think John Summerall gets revenge from Tulane last season without Lane Kiffin dialing them up. And I think they lose three of their last five games, Auburn, Georgia, at Oklahoma, Wofford, and Mississippi State. So I think 6-6 could be in store for Ole Miss this year. And if that happens, the SEC is turned on its head.
Absolutely. That would be insane. I think the narrative, the Lane Kiffin, Pete Golding arc would just be enough to bury Ole Miss at that point. I think LSU, as much as Ole Miss is kind of out for blood and salty about things, the LSU fan base is ready to stomp anybody into the dirt that they can. And if that happens, watch out for those Cajuns, because they're not going to be kind to the guys in Oxford.
It would be actually hilarious if, like, everything that dominated the news cycle last year around the college football playoffs, the Lane Kiffin drama, then you had the Pete Golding drama with, you know, the transfers and all of that. Ole Miss is suing transfers. It would just be like, you know, two of the most dysfunctional programs in the country, both having end of seasons that leave everyone wondering, why do we even do it? But we got to take a break here. We're going to have Justin Lyles of Sports Cap Value coming in to do some more national predictions, which I think will be a lot of fun. And then I think Jordan might also get into some SEC, ACC stuff if he wants to. But again, go to thebigspur.com. You know, it's so much fun. And then Rob Williams, we cannot forget, Four Quarter Fridays. That site is blowing up. It is a lot of fun. You're going to enjoy it. If you're a South Carolinian that loves your high school, get over there, get over to thebigspur.com. You're going to want to be a part of all of this fall camp. And look, high school football starts in no time. So being on both sites, that's a no brainer. So Rob, let's hear from our sponsors. When we come back, we'll have Justin Lyles at sportscapvalue.com. Welcome back into the Late Night Gamecock Show. Again, I'm joined by Rob Williams, FourQuarterFridays.com, FourQuarterFriday.com, Justin Lau, SportsGuyValue.com, and again, my name is Matt Anderson, Late Night Gamecock with TheBigSpur.com. But we have our favorite segment of every week, Justin, when we start looking at this stuff from a betting angle. So we're going to get into national predictions here in a minute. And so Rob and I, we'll just be talking about stuff. You know, if Justin wants to throw in a betting angle, that's awesome. But I did want to give Justin the floor for some SEC betting angles and what he's looking at. So what I asked him to do was give me his two most confident predictions, two that he's confident about, but kind of iffy, and two that are out there, but if the stars align, could maybe win you a lot of money, whatever, whichever way Justin wanted to go with it. So Justin, do you have a preference in how we start this thing?
No, I don't, not really. How are we doing, boys?
Doing good.
Good to have you.
Good. Thanks for having me again, as always. I would start, this is not really, you know, out of left field, so to speak, but I really like this Oklahoma team. I know we're going to talk about them a lot. I think what they have with the quarterback and the defense and what they got coming back, I'm putting I'm peppering them when it comes to everything they've got. And it may be a letdown at the end of the year, but I just like what I'm seeing, what I'm hearing, research that I'm doing. Even from the Heisman hopeful and Mateer all the way to over total wins to even winning the national championship. So I'll start with that.
Well, see, I love that. So, and it sounds like there is some confidence there. Is there one of those that you would say you're most confident in if you were going to lay money down, whether it's the over under, whether it's a future? I mean, futures, you can't be that confident, but, you know, where are you leaning on the confidence, like 1 to 10 on whatever you're thinking right now?
I think from a value standpoint, and I think
that's the better way to say it, value standpoint.
The biggest edge here, I'm liking Oklahoma to win the SEC at 12-1. I think they would be in a good position to do that. I wouldn't go any higher than that on any other teams. I feel like that's a good value spot for Oklahoma is to win the SEC.
Okay. And then, so if you were thinking like, so John Mateer to win the Heisman on a scale of like 1 to 10 on a value wise bet, like, okay, let's just say this, like, is that a $10 bet, a $5 bet, or a $1 bet, you know, for the value? Like if you're just use whatever unit you want, you know what
sure,
I mean?
Sure. I mean, obviously on the higher value picks, you're going to lay a little bit less, just there's a little bit more risk there, but it's probably a middle of the bet, a 2 unit. I like to range things from a 1 to 3 unit perspective, as you'll see on my website. This is probably a 2 unit on Mateer. I think he's at 25-1. I was going through the board players and just, I'm not liking what I'm seeing. I mean, they're just begging you to take these players and I just don't see it. I mean, you think about last year with Mendoza, I think he was way back. Nobody was on his list for winning the Heisman. I think he might have been 50, 60, 100-1 at some point. And at the end of the day, he's raising the trophy. So I think 25-1 is a good edge, as well as Lenora's too, way back at 40-1. I mean, he's fallen way back from last year. I think he was like 15, 20-1. So just think about that.
Yeah, Rob, you know, I think when you think about that value proposition, and look, we know gambling's not for everybody, but, you know, if you do want to play with it, I mean, why would I lay, you know, $1 to win $5 when I could lay $1 to win 40 or 60? And then right. You need to, you know, extrapolate that by whatever your unit system is. So what I guess, like, you know, if you're going to make bets on some SEC teams right here, Justin, you know, we went through the over and unders, like, what are things that you feel pretty confident in, teams you feel confident in, and then teams like, you know, Rob said earlier, you know, Mississippi State, you know, wins 7 games this year, you know, if the stars kind of align. So, you know, just your take on, you know, what the betting market's saying right now.
I think from a general perspective, you're really looking at, you know, who's the quarterback, what's the potential there, if there any past, you know, history there, what have they proven themselves. You're looking at the defense overall. I mean, it's a little bit different. You don't really look at it like we used to when a new coach comes in. They need 3-4 years, what have you. Now it's like you better win or you're going to be out in 2 years. So that's changed it a little bit. As far as Mississippi State at 4.5 wins season total, I love that with their quarterback. And I'm very nervous about that third game for South Carolina, to be honest with you. It's really the first test they're going to see So if we get past that, that's then I'll feel a lot better. But also, as far as SEC schools, I think looking at these teams, you know, going to the 9-game schedule, I think a lot of the experts, so to speak, are thinking that they're just going to beat up on each other. But really, you know, I think you're going to still see that top tier just kind of separate themselves just with an extra game, so to speak. So I think Tennessee's kind of under the radar just from because of the quarterback situation. I think we just discussed previously a couple weeks ago. I like them at over 7.5 and then LSU. I think LSU could be a sneaky playoff contender to get in and sneak in. So that's really what I'm looking at from value-wise, just from the SEC alone.
So I will say as well that, you know, Rob and I had some crazy stuff. I don't know if you were able to watch when you popped on, but, you know, one of the things Rob said is, you know, if the stars align, he could see Texas A&M losing 7 games with their schedule. So with that type of thing, I know there's betting markets out there to, you know, like Raphael said it on Friday on JB's show, like if, you know, you like a team to, you know, underperform an over-under, why don't you just go find an alternate over-under and say, I'm going to take the plus 160 that they go under 9.5 or something like that. So, I mean, would you feel confident in saying that, you know, like a Texas A&M, you know, like it, if the stars align, like 7 losses, like that's worth a dart throw?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, like I said, you know, 9 games, I think there's going to be a little bit of regression with that team. I think they obviously were in a lot of close scoring games, and there's a, I think that comes back, you know, what goes around comes around. It's like the turnover margin, as they say, 1 year it's good, 1 year it's not. Same thing when it comes to this. So, I mean, I think they're due for regression. I think they're the perfect example.
All right. And then I know, so guys, we talked about a lot of these teams already over the past couple of weeks. And if you just want to watch our older videos and just get Justin's take on it, you can usually go to about the 25, 35 minute mark of the show. And you'll hear about, you know, all these teams' schedules. So, Justin's given us his take, his best bets. You know, obviously some of those are dated now, so use your own wisdom. If the line's moved, you know, you can always reach out to Justin at sportscapvalue.com. Reach out to us, we'll get the question to him, kind of deal. But now we need to take a look at the national landscape. So we're going to do a fun thing here where we're going to have, you know, the most confident but still iffy on out there, and we're only going to give one each. So I don't know who wants to start here. I know Rob likes to walk the plank. So, Rob, I'll start with you, and then I'll go, and then Justin can go. Most confident prediction for the national landscape.
Yeah, so if we're going outside of the SEC, right, I'm going here in one that I'm confident from a prediction standpoint. I'm super confident. From a historical standpoint, I have a lot of reason to have pause here, but I'm going to say Miami finally wins the ACC. I think that this is a team – that has all the talent. I think they went and got probably the best quarterback that was in the portal by taking him off a roster and putting him in the portal. And I think that they have an opportunity with the state of the ACC to kind of run things this year. I don't see a ton of challengers. You're going to have some teams that were up last year. They're going to be a little more down. So I'm interested. What does SMU do? I think Georgia Tech is going to be down. I don't think Florida State is all the way back up yet and by any stretch. So I'm going with the Canes to finally take home that ACC championship.
Justin, thoughts there, my man?
No, I like it. No, I think they're going back to the playoffs. I'm with Rob on this. I think there's good value there for sure. I have no argue against that.
All right. So we got Miami winning the ACC championship, going back to the college football playoffs. Would you go as – I don't want to spoil anything, Rob, if this is something you have later, but do you think they might win a national championship again?
You're not spoiling anything. I'll spoil. I have one from each of the other Power Four conferences. That's okay. not the SEC. So, I think it's possible. I do think it's possible because you're going to get a little bit of this, like because of how the ACC is constructed. Obviously Notre Dame is out there and the Canes play Notre Dame this year, which will be a big one, but how beat up are they? I think they could go into this playoff and be really, really healthy, and that'll help them with an elongated schedule.
So I want to say this, Justin. You said this last year. I don't know if you remember it, but I told people to listen. About 5-6 weeks into the college football schedule, I asked you, Justin, if there's one team out there that you would place a futures bet on right now to win the national title, You said Miami, and Miami almost did it. So, you know, when looking at last year to this year, obviously the odds have changed. It's a different Miami team. But would you still like Miami to win, to hoist the national championship at the end of the season as a bet this year, or has the number got too low?
I think right now the number's a little too low just because of what happened last year and what they got coming back and what they're building, so to speak. But I'm not shocked. I would not be shocked at all if they won it all. I really wouldn't.
All right. Well, I'll go next, and we'll let Justin go with his most confident prediction. My most confident prediction is Indiana will not make the college football playoffs. They're going to lose three games in the regular season. Indiana has to go on the road to Nebraska. They host Ohio State, and they go on the road to Michigan during a three-game stretch from October 10th to October 24th. Let me just tell you, October 10th to October 24th is not the time of the year you want to drop a game or two when you're trying to climb back in those college football playoff rankings. But after that, they play Minnesota and PJ Fleck at home for Indiana's homecoming. I would never schedule PJ Fleck for homecoming personally. And they also host Southern Cal and go on the road to Washington. Indiana's going to face four of Phil Steele's top seven teams in the Big Ten and six of the top nine teams in the league. Indiana is also going to be everyone's statement game. I think they lose three games and miss out.
I'm kind of moderate on this. Like, I do have them under 10.5 wins for this season. I think they're going 10-2 somehow. The playoff thing, I think it just depends on what the other teams are doing at that moment. Well, with that being said, you know, Indiana has a lot of – they're known now, obviously, with winning the national championship and what they've done the last 2 years. I think that helps them. You know how that comes in, how that goes when it comes to selection committee. So – I'm kind of iffy on that. I would not be surprised, but I do have the under 10.5 regular season wins for them.
All right. So, Rob, Justin was lukewarm on the most confident prediction. Please tell me you're confident with me. Otherwise, I need to rethink everything.
I feel pretty good about it, Matt, because of the quarterback situation. I think that they have, Clemson. I don't want to bring them into this, but Clemson went back to back with generational quarterbacks in Deshaun Watson and Trevor Lawrence, and it kind of like fixed into the mindset of especially the younger Clemson fans that it was just going to be that way every five star that they brought in at that position. And then we saw the drop off has been at the quarterback position with DJ and then Cade. I think that you cannot reproduce hitting a grand slam with a Heisman Trophy winner in the portal year after year, and I think that will be what holds them back enough to maybe make your prediction come true.
The one thing that I am a little iffy on is I think their defense is going to be very good again. And Justin, I think you would probably maybe – let me ask you this question. Does the casual bettor underestimate defenses when they're looking at over-unders and teams? Because offense gets all the notoriety. They get all the publicity, and you see this potential awesome situation, and you just forget about the defense.
I mean, yeah, the casual bettor, yeah, for sure. They're just looking at the names, you know. They're thinking about one or two people on the team, regardless of offense or defense. You know, they're not really doing their research, so to speak. So, yeah, for sure, they definitely aren't thinking about defense.
I might have done that with my my first confident prediction. So, it's on the record. We'll see what happens. So, Justin, your most confident prediction.
I am going with the Texas Tech Raiders will not go over 10.5 wins for the season. I think this is a regression year. I thought they lost a lot on defense. Obviously, they've had the situation with the quarterback, so to speak. I think they go 10-2 at best, if not worse. So I'm going to take the Texas Tech Raiders under 10.5 wins.
Well, Rob, they've certainly been in the national news lately.
I think 10.5 is a strong number for them, Justin. And you look at the rest. Here's where I'm not going to spoil myself because I do have one here. But you look at the rest of the over-unders in the Big 12, there's a gap. There's a noticeable gap between where Texas Tech is and where the rest of this league is predicted to land. If it's somebody else, that's going to really shake up what the expectations were. There may be some value there. I'll let you speak on it when we look at the rest of it, but I've got one of those coming up.
Okay. I like it. I did a Texas Tech, I pulled an Indiana from the previous year. I just never believed. And then by the time I started believing, it was too late. But now I just see the difference in quarterback. I don't know what they're going to be. They've been a national news story. So I love that pick, Justin. I think it's an awesome one from a confidence standpoint. So good job there. I'm going to go first with the confident but still iffy on. This one I think has really good value. I think that the national media might also be on this as well. But I think that Penn State makes the college football playoffs. The Nittany Lions only have two games of real consequence on their schedule. Those games are back-to-back with Southern Cal at home and then Michigan on the road. After that, it's a bye week to regroup. Then you have Purdue at Washington, Minnesota, Rutgers, and at Maryland. I think they lose 10 games at or lose two games at the most, win 10 before the Big Ten championship.
Okay. I think
that's
might be pushing.
Yeah, I don't know with the new coach, you know, like I may be on the other side of this, but he hasn't really shown a whole lot to me. I mean, let's see what he's been at Iowa State. I don't know how many games have they won, and the most he's won in 1 year, nine games. I could be wrong there, but I mean, I need to see a year or so. I mean, he's at Penn State where things are, you know, it got a lot hotter real quick. So, I don't know. I'm a little iffy on this. I just don't know. I don't know about this Penn State team. It's a stay away from me overall.
I think he's a great coach, and I think that he will be able to get it going because I think from a mind, an approach standpoint, I think he fits at Penn State. However, roster-wise, he brought the entire Iowa State team, and last year was not his best team. So last year was not one of those nine-win teams at Iowa State. So if you bring the entire roster, how does it work in the Big Ten? There's a difference between Big Ten, Big 12. The schedule is super favorable, so it appears, but it's August 9th. So we don't really know who some of these teams are just yet. I could see them having a great year, Matt. College football playoff might be a little far for my taste, though.
So the only place that I'll push back here is that I've done a lot of research comparing the SEC to the Big Ten. There's actually an article on thebigspur.com. I truly believe that the top four teams carry the Big Ten year in and year out. I think that bottom level of the Big Ten is nowhere near the mid to bottom level of the SEC. And avoiding all those big matchups in the regular season, I think that you take some continuity from all those players that came from Iowa State, and you have a coach you believe in. You want to make that move in a conference and really set something up in the future. So that's why it's still iffy, but I could really see it happening. And I don't know how the CFP would handle that because we've seen what they did with Indiana with a very soft schedule. They got in. Now, maybe Penn State gets exposed if they make the CFP. I'm not predicting a national championship by any stretch, but I think that they avoid so many good teams in the Big Ten and that they might get pants in a Big Ten hypothetical championship. You know what I mean? I don't know, but yeah, so it's fun. So, Rob, let's go you, and then we'll go over to Justin.
Perfect timing because I'm going to stay in the Big Ten, but I'm going to go with one of those power players. I think Oregon wins 11 games this year. They have the schedule is kind of back and forth for me, guys. I mean, you have some heavy hitters on there. Ohio State and Michigan are on this schedule. Washington's on the schedule. What does Illinois look like? USC's on this schedule. But then you're kind of Portland State. I don't think Oklahoma State is going to have the horses, no pun intended, for the Cowboys to go and get it done against the Ducks just yet. I don't like UCLA against this Oregon team. Obviously, Northwestern is a team, and Michigan State has been kind of so-so in the past couple of years. So I think the firepower in Oregon, they just continue to reload in terms of athletes and what they can go out and get from an NIL standpoint too. I like Dan Lanning a lot. A couple of years ago, I referred to him exclusively as Big Ten champion Dan Lanning for about 6 months before the season started, and he went out there and did it, so I'm going to ride with the Ducks again.
Justin?
I like it. I mean, I think Oregon's just been a staple in college football. The question is, can they get it done? You know, obviously, like you said, quarterback's back, and they got a lot of pressure on them. They're heavy favorites to win a lot of games, to win it all. I mean, they got as pretty close last year and then got dominated by Indiana. So I will say for mine, I really want to stick to the Big Ten as well. And I'm going with, I guess it's the Big Ten, USC Trojans to make the college football playoff. I think this is a make or break year for Riley. So I think they're kind of coming under the radar. I think he's got a good quarterback. And with this NIL stuff, I think they're going to be sneaky good this year.
So
I like that.
I like it too. I will say that Lincoln Riley is pretty, he's kind of a private person, you know, despite being the LA Lights, he doesn't really seek out the national media like a Lane Kiffin might, you know, two kind of polar ends of the spectrum, but he has a lot of pressure under him. He actually came out recently and said, this is the best team he's had at Southern Cal. And for him to make a statement like that, I don't think it has anything to do with the hot seat or anything like that. Like, I think he truly believes it. So I like Justin's pick. I will also say that Oregon might have the best defense in the Big Ten, and that is not talked about enough with a quarterback that might have been the number two overall pick in the NFL draft if he had declared this past year. So number two overall pick, yeah. So I like both of those picks. You know, I think that, you know, this is the fun area when you listen to me, Rob, and Justin talk and you get the three-way feedback. If you do want to lay a bet on something that, you know, you might not have confidence in, or maybe we've swayed you, you know, this is that time to, you know, maybe using Justin's, you know, one, two, and three units, maybe you do a three unit on the confident ones, you do a two unit on the iffies. And then this next topic we're going to talk about, maybe it's a one unit, but if you like it, you know, maybe put a little bit more on it. So this is if the stars align, you know, it could happen. I mean, this is kind of like throwing out, you know, like a hook without any bait on it, right? Let's just see if it hits. Sometimes you catch a fish. So I'll go ahead and start, then I'll get to you two. I think the ACC only gets one team in the college football playoffs this year, and I think that should have been the case over the last two or three years. I think the CFP has to get smarter in the teams they are putting in there because they are under a tremendous amount of pressure now. They've got blasted the past 2 years. So I think that Miami is the only team to make the CFP. I think that SMU loses their statement game against Notre Dame. I think Clemson loses to one or both of LSU and South Carolina. I think Louisville, as we talked about earlier, starts out strong beating Ole Miss, but they're going to lose some games they're favored in. I think that people are going to really see the difference in the Big Ten and the SEC versus the Big 12 and the ACC, and the ACC only gets one team in the CFP.
I don't hate it. I mean, obviously we think it's Miami, right? If that's the one team.
Yeah, Miami.
And I think that it just fell funny for that not to happen the past couple of years. I think this could be the year when things kind of fall that way. Matt, I don't know who else, Justin, you tell me who else in that league
Clemson
rises to that occasion. Maybe
I like Louisville.
That's sneaky.
Yeah.
That is sneaky.
Yeah. Brom is good. I think he was one of my, you know, as I said on the show last year, I think like he's the guy that I think can really do some good things. So watch out for Louisville.
Okay. Yeah, I like it.
Rob, most confident, or not most confident. Sorry, least confident. Least confident.
All right. We talked about the Big 12 earlier, Texas Tech, 10.5. You look at the over-unders there, and it drops off, right? BYU is in that conversation. We know what Kalani Sitake has done in the past few years. Utah lost its head coach to Michigan, but my stars aligned pick here is that Utah is the Big 12 team that comes out and makes the college football playoff. I think that at the quarterback position, still got Devin Dampier. I think that you have a tough, hard-nosed mentality there with the Utes. I think that in that league, in the Big 12, it could be a little chaotic, especially if Texas Tech hits the under on that 10.5, and then all bets are off. You're not going to get a multi-bid conference if that happens. You're going to have to put in the champion. So I think that it could be a case of you get a couple of 9-3 teams or a 9-3 and an 8-5 in that Big 12 championship game, and then if you talk, then it's a winner take all to get into the college football playoff.
It's like the ACC last year, you know, type
Correct.
Of situation.
It could happen. It could if stars align.
Yeah.
Justin
thoughts?
You pushing back here?
No, I mean I like it. I really do. Like I was thinking about my. Between two thoughts on this about two teams, I'm like, who should I say here? Texas, San Antonio. Somebody's got to get in from the group of five. Okay. I'm taking them to make the playoff. I don't know if it's under the radar, but somebody's got to get in, like a Tulane or what have you. I'm taking Texas, San Antonio to make the playoff. Mark it down.
I would love to find odds on that. Justin, you know what the odds are on picking a group of five teams? 11-1
right now, what I'm looking at. So just to make the playoff.
11-1.
Yeah.
Hey, look, if you're going to throw $10 on something, now all of a sudden you got a nice meal at a steakhouse. If you
somebody's got to get in. Somebody's got to get in from the group of five, and that's my pick.
I love this conversation about a group of five teams getting in, or group of six teams. Shout out to my friend Craig McMichael, Fly Like a G6 teams. One of them has to get in, and that is the most wide open conversation that we could ever have in college football, the playoff discussion, right? There's so many. Who's it going to be? The optics, I think, play such a large role, because there's probably going to be a couple of them that are somewhere in that 9-3, 10-2 range. Do they win their, you know, how did the championship shake out? There's so many variables, so many contenders. That's a fun conversation. Sure. And will continue to be fun when they have their own playoff in a few years.
I like how you snuck that in there, Rob. I will also say, too, it's kind of like March Madness when you have the conference tournaments and you have those auto bids, and, you know, everyone's watching it for like a bid thief. But, you know, you got to win your conference championship to have an opportunity. So it doesn't matter what you did the rest of the season. If you're 11-1 or 12-0 and you lose in the conference championship, you're not getting into the college football playoffs. So there's a lot of pressure there. And, you know, it's still, to me, like taking pigs to slaughter. You know, whoever makes it in there, it's really not a fair competition when you have NIL and you have the transfer portal and these big dogs that can reload. So I love that. I love that you went there, Justin. My mind was not even close to theirs. That's why we always have you on here. But I want to say I appreciate everybody for being here tonight. I appreciate Justin and Rob for being here. It's so much fun to do this with you guys. Next week is going to be a really fun episode. We're going to get a lot more back closer to home, right? We had to do this national stuff to get our predictions out there, SEC, all of that. But we're going to be doing Gamecock predictions next week. So a lot of Gamecock stuff there. You know, we'll see maybe what Justin has in store for us, because look, you know, Justin does this professionally, but at the same time, he is a big Gamecock, and he has that big Gamecock heart that all of you guys do. So we're going to see if he wears his heart on his sleeve with his predictions. We're not going to go into the schedule, just a heads up. The schedule is going to be in 2 weeks, so we'll get to that. But we're going to give our predictions on the season. I know Rob and I will be all over it. We'll have, you know, the first scrimmage under our belt, so we'll have a little bit more intel. Some of the stuff might be a little bit more nuanced, so make sure you're paying attention to it. But for myself, for Rob, for Justin, I want to thank you so much for being here tonight. When you hang out with us, you give us the most valuable thing you have, your time. So we thank you, and we will see you next week. Everyone have a great week. Talk to you soon.